How many of you have seen The Grinch? Okay, so for you Grinch, some of you have been seeing The Grinch for a long time. Amen. You're like, okay. But this is Grinch trivia. How many can tell me why the Grinch is so grouchy? There's a reason. Why? Small, right, I saw that hand. Small heart, ding, 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 absolutely. His heart is too small. Okay. We're going to talk to you about, we don't want you to be grouchy. What did I say? Grinchy. We don't want you to be grinchy, okay? We want you to be full of joy and peace. And here's the truth. We live in a society where the truth is there's a lot of frustration. And I mean, just being alive, just dealing with the just life, just going out and just functioning in the business world, just going grocery shopping and going to, you know what, the different places. And how many know they talk a big talk? You know, they have good slogans about service. How many notice companies who have good slogans in service, but their level of service and their slogans, there's a big gap in between that? And sometimes it is so frustrating. You're like, man. Sometimes, it is a true story. Sometimes I'll say over the phone, hey, do you know your slogan? Because I know their slogan. And I'm wondering if they know their slogan. You know what I mean? The customer is the best. You know what I mean? And so there'll be something going on. I'll just say, hey, do you know your slogan? No, I don't. I believe that. Amen. I believe you don't know your slogan. And some of them, they know your slogan, but it is just a slogan. And then there's just the frustrations of regular life. You ever get behind you ever been in a hurry? And you get somebody who's not in a hurry? You mean? You ever been driving? And you just, you know what? Sometimes I like drinking water. I'll have a big water. And you know what? Sometimes I'm not smart. I'll have a big water in a little cup. You know what? A big water in a little cup holder. You know what I mean? And then I'll turn the corner. And then it's like, oh, I lost my water. But it's like, oh, you know what I mean? And something just as simple as that. Sometimes it's just like, ah. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? And many times, listen to me, many times it's not stuff like that happens and we're not like, oh, well, you know what? God is good. I'm still going to heaven. You know what I mean? It's, you know, it's not a big deal. And we can get in a pattern of allowing these things to just frustrate us. And I want to talk to you about enlarging our hearts. And becoming, you know what, not grinchy and not grouchy and not grumpy and not frumpy. Okay. Anyway, that's enough. But you understand what I'm talking about. Look at, guys in the back, I don't have it, but Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I told Jonathan what I was preaching on. Yeah, it's just pick a verse in Psalm 19. They're all good. But I was sharing with Jonathan what I'd be preaching on. And he said, oh, yeah, like Psalm 119. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's good. I think I'll use that. So Psalm 119, and look at verse 32. Psalm 119. Look what it says. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall, what?
Enlarge.
Enlarge my what? My heart. God wants to enlarge our hearts. I want to talk to you today about enlarging your hearts. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, and you're familiar with this verse. Proverbs chapter 4. And look at verse 23. What it says, keep your heart with all diligence. Doesn't say diligence, it says what diligence? All diligence. With all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Out of your heart, your heart is going to dictate the quality of your life. The heart, your heart is going to dictate the effectiveness of your life. How effective you'll be. You know what's going to dictate that? Not what family you were raised in, not your economic status. You know what? Not any of that. What's going to dictate that is your heart. And so it's critical. Well, what's your heart? The heart is who you really are. That's what your heart is. Who you really are. And so you've got to protect. The heart is the center of who you are. Like they'll say, the heart of the melon. Well, the heart of the melon is the center of the melon. Your heart is your center. It's not the organ that pumps your blood. Well, that is your heart, but that's not what the Bible's talking about. What the Bible's talking is about who you really are is what's going to dictate really how effective you are in life. I've known businessmen who don't have integrity. And I know businessmen who don't have integrity and they make a lot of money. Listen to me. For a short period of time. But anyone who's in business, if they don't have integrity, they can only make money for a short period of time. Why? Because who they really are. See, watch this. If you're in business and all you really care about is making money, that's your main focus. Watch that. Watch this. That's who you are. That's who you really are. All you care about is making money. And if that's all you care about, here's what'll happen. You'll be deceptive. You'll say the product costs this much and it costs that much. You'll shave things. You'll do dishonest things, non-integrous things that you could pad your profit. Which you can make some money on doing that. But what'll happen is eventually your business, you'll go broke doing that. Because eventually your reputation will get back to you real quick and people will start saying. How many know if you do business like that, those customers talk to other customers? And many times in that business, and they'll say, oh, man, you know what? Oh, you want this? Don't get it from this person. Because, yeah, I did that, and I'm telling you what, and 4 months later, you know what? The faucet came apart or the whatever the disingenuous was. And guess what? And next thing you can't get any customers. And, yeah, you made 30% instead of 20%. But you should have made 20%, you know what, and you'd still be in business. But what happens? It's the heart, the really matter of who you are is going to dictate, is going to affect your scope of how effective you'll be as far as being a businessman. See, you need to protect your heart because out of that is going to flow the issues. The issues are the boundaries of life. And the Bible says, listen, this is imperative. This is jugular. This is critical that you understand it's your heart that is going to, and a protecting of the heart that is going to allow you to thrive. How many want to thrive in life? Well, to do that, you have to protect your heart. with all diligence. Look at Proverbs 27:19. As the water face reflects the face. How many know if you go to a pond, you can look at that pond, and what are you going to see? You're going to see your reflection. You're going to look in that water, and it's going to reflect your face. Hello. Just like that is, so a man's heart reveals the man. That's what it is. That exactly. The water is a mirror. Well, guess what? Your heart is a mirror to who you really are. Who you really are. If you're a man of integrity, then guess what? People will see it. People will see it. If you're not, how many know? People will see that. The center of you, who you are, is going to reflect who you are. Hello. You know what? You ever heard this? You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool anybody who's been over to your house. You ever heard that? Okay. What's that talking? It's that. That's what. How many know that is true? Why? Because who you are is going to come out. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And let the peace of God rule, let. Everybody say let. Yes. See? Now when we say, and I've taught you this again, but it's all over the Bible. You got to understand, when the Bible says let, that is an act of your will. That what you're about to read, it's up to you. Look at your neighbor, say, this is up to you. Oh, I'm so frustrated. I'm so stressed out. Okay, hey, love you. It's your fault. No, not my fault. You know what? It's because what she did, what my spouse did, what you know what he did, what my boss did. Listen. It's your fault. If it wasn't, you know what? The Bible wouldn't say let. What's that? That's an act of whose will? Your will. That's why the Bible's saying this to you. Hey, guys, let this. You know what? And let the peace of God rule in your what? Let it rule in your heart. You don't have to, look at your neighbor and say, you don't have to be stressed. But see, we have, and I'm going to show it to you, we have convinced ourselves that outside circumstances dictate what's going on. And let me tell you who that is. Listen to me. Look at your neighbor and say, you came a good night. We have convinced ourselves that the outside of circumstances in life will dictate our level of peace, joy, frustration, whatever it is. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. It's not true. It is not true. What that is, can I tell somebody the truth tonight? Can you handle the truth tonight? Okay. Am I still smiling? Here's the question. When you believe that, here's why that truth. How many know there's things that Satan will throw at you, and they're softballs. He wants you to hit them out. He wants you to receive that lie. Okay, but it takes integrity for you to look yourself in the mirror and say, "This is my response. My joy level is my responsibility." Oh, that's anointed. Let's say that. My joy level is my responsibility. Okay. And so he'll throw that softball up to you because he wants you to go, it's their fault. It's your boss's fault. It's your spouse's fault. It's the freeway's fault. Right? It's that person driving in front of you's fault. It's not their fault. And let the peace of God rule your heart. You know what that is? Can I be honest with you? Here's what it is. You're not protecting your heart with all diligence. There has to be this tenacity to say, I tell you what, you know what? The other day, I heard somebody saying something, you know what? And I have close relationship with this person. And I said, we ain't going there. And matter of fact, I just stopped it because it started to come out. I was like, I'm and again, you don't do this with just anybody, but I have a close relationship. And so I was able to do that. But we've got to do the same thing with our stuff. We got to go, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to let this situation steal my joy. And the reason why the Bible says this is because you can do this. But we have to know it's our responsibility to do it. It's up to us. And let the peace of God rule your heart. You have to protect your heart with all diligence, with which also you were called into one body, and be what?
Thankful.
And be thankful. 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 The person driving slow in front of you, you know what? You know what? If all you can figure it out is, you know what, for you to pray in tongues, then just pray in tongues. See? How many know it's hard to pray in the spirit and be in the flesh? Amen. And all of a sudden, because let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is so cool. The Holy Spirit will start going, dude, how many of the Holy Spirit is real? He'll say, hey, dude, what's your problem? What you in a hurry about anyway? You know what I mean? And he'll do little things like, hey, just look up at the mountains, man. Aren't they beautiful? You know what I mean? Just start to thank God for your family. Just start to thank God. You know, because the Holy Spirit will do that. But understand what this is. This is your choice. Are you learning something already? Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Look what it said. Glory to the Lord in the highest, and on earth, what? Peace. Everybody say peace. Goodwill towards men. God, listen, God wants people on the earth. Are you on the earth? Okay. He wants people on the earth. That's you to have peace. The Bible says Jesus is our peace. He is our peace. All right. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 2. And Isaiah chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 2 through 5, and we're going to glean some things out of these verses. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, starting with verse 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. How many know we win? Come on. Amen. We win. All right. Shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. Ooh, this is good. This is shouting verses, is it not? Hallelujah. Okay. And all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and he shall walk, and we shall walk in whose paths? His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations. How many ultimately? Nobody's going to get away with anything. One of the reasons why we need to be praying for our nation and the ungodly direction that it's going is because God is going to judge our nation. Amen. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. Guys, I'm just saying, we need to really read the Bible. There's a perversion of gospel going around right now, like God's not going to reap, like man isn't going to reap what they sow. Listen to me, because of this, what I've heard called hyper grace teaching. Let me tell you what, read your Bible. You can say amen to this. Read your Bible. And rebuke how many people? Many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. I'll explain what that means in a minute. And their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. There's three things that I want us to glean out of this portion of scripture. The first is this. Number one, write this down. Learn to live in God's presence. Learn to live in God's presence. Look at verse Isaiah 5. We just went there. Verse 5, chapter 2, verse 5. Look at this. And the house of Jacob shall come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Okay. Two things write down. You know what? Number one, under this, you must recognize God's presence. Listen, if you're going to walk in the peace of God, you cannot walk in the peace of God and not recognize the presence of God. Let me tell you what. The presence of God will bring peace into a chaotic situation. Remember the apostles, and they had a chaotic situation. There was wind going everywhere, causing waves to just in the boat. These are fishermen, experienced fishermen, and they're freaked out. I mean, they are so scared they think they're going to die. And what's Jesus doing? Jesus is sleeping on a pillow. Amen. I mean, I like the details of the gospel. Amen. He's like, you know what? The dude was on a pillow. You know what I mean? And they go down there like they're all freaking out. Jesus, you know what? I mean, I can just picture Jesus just like, oh, you know what I mean? He gets up there, peace be still. Can I tell you what happened? The presence of God in a chaotic situation. See, you need to practice. You need to start to practice the presence of God. You need to start to recognize. You know what it's like? You know what it's like? It's like there's this frequency. How many know right now Channel 2's airwaves are probably going right through this, you know what, place right now? You know, Channel 4, Channel 7, bunch of channels, just going right through here. Why doesn't it make any difference? Because we're not tuned into the frequency. You know, there's people, and listen, the presence of God will cause peace into your life. The peace of God will do that. I've experienced that. I told you this. I experienced that in this sanctuary. Before this was a South Sanctuary. I came over here and I just would experience. I just look around and think, oh my goodness, this is a sanctuary. What am I doing? I'm tuning into the presence of God. And when you turn into the presence of God, listen, understand this. God's not stressed out about nothing. How many know God doesn't worry about nothing? And just like if you're, I don't know what ESPN, you know, the sports station, I don't know what station that is. But how many know if you tune it to ESPN, the sports station, how many know you're not going to get a cooking show? What are you going to, I don't know what sports, you're going to get some kind of sports. Tamara's daddy used to go over to their house, to his house, and when I'd go over there almost all the time, guess what he'd be watching? He'd be watching the cooking station. And I never went over the cooking station, and they're, you know what, playing badminton. You know, never. I'm like, oh, what are those guys with the cooking house? Why are they playing badminton? You know, never, amen. Because that wasn't a sports station. It was a cooking station. Can I tell you what the presence of God is? The presence of God is a peace station. And when you tie into that presence, when you tie into that frequency, of which you can tie into that frequency anytime you want. How many of you know the frequency of God is on all the time? 24/7. But many times we're too into the frequency of caught up in life. You know, the other day hadn't heard, just been busy with working on the hangout, and hadn't, you know what, gotten up early, come home late, gotten up early, come home late, haven't had time really to pay attention to what's going on with the election or any of that. And so, you know what, I'm coming early here, and I think, you know what, just turn on, you know what, one of the talk stations and find out what's going on. So what'd you do? The Holy Spirit said, no. You know what? Turn on my frequency. You know what? Pray, speak in tongues, and just get on my frequency. So, Pastor, what do you do? I didn't turn on the radio. I just prayed on the way in. What am I saying? You have to make a decision. You know what? And sometimes just because, you know what, we just hop in the car, boom, turn on the radio. You know what I mean? I mean, just turn on secular radio. Boom, boom. It's just automatic. We just get home, boom, turn on secular television. You know what I mean? It's just boom, boom, boom. And it's no wonder. I remember one time, and this will date me, but you know what? But I am used to just listening to the word, you know what, putting teachings on. You know what? I'm used to doing that. But it was during the, I'm going to date myself, but it was during the OJ trial. And there was a couple of disc jockeys, LA disc jockeys, and they always had something to say about the trial and stuff. Well, I'd go into work, and when I'd go into work, I'd turn it in because they always had something going on. I wanted to know what's going on, boom, boom, boom. And I remember just starting, and it took a while, and I started to get really kind of frustrated, not really scared about finances. And I was like, what's going on? What? I've never been, you know what, been a tither for many, many years, always not an issue, not worried about our finance. And for just a period of time, I was just worried about finances. And I asked God, I said, God, what's going on? He said, what do you mean what's going on? I said, God, what's going on? Why am I so worried? You know, how many know God will try to... How many know when God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know what the answer is? You know, he's trying to get you to think. And he was like, what do you mean what's going on? I said, God, how come I'm... He said, what do you think? You every time you drive into work, I usually work like 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'd work all, you know, till late. And every time you drive in, you turn on those cynical, disc jockeys, and you just feed on that, you know what? And sometimes because traffic, it would take me 35 minutes to get to work, and you just feed on that for 35 minutes. And you're doing it day in and day in and day in and day out and day in, and you know what? And that cynicalness has fed into your spirit, and it's sunk into your heart. You're not protecting your heart without diligence, and now it's affecting the issues in your life. And what did I tell? I said, God, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? You know what? It's interesting. We really have to connect the dots with this issue of peace. Because many people in the body of Christ, I mean good people, they're not walking in the peace that God has for you. Let me tell you about God's peace. God has peace for you that it's so incredible, it's supernatural. It's so supernatural, it will defy logic. The Bible says it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. You know what that means? People look at you and say, oh my goodness, you must be crazy. Because anybody who wasn't crazy ought to be concerned about the situation. And you're not concerned about this situation. You're crazy. And you'll just smile at him and say, well, I don't know why, but I'm not nervous about it. I'm not concerned about it. I'm not worried about it. What are they experiencing? What are you experiencing? You're experiencing the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. They don't understand it. Amen. And that's the peace that we should walk in. And sometimes it's just as logical, as simple as turn it off and start experiencing the presence of God. I'm talking about the secular. You know, one of the things that we do in Academy of Righteousness, it's one of the requirements. We require you to turn it off. There's so much secular, you know what, unchristian entertainment just coming into, and listen, guys, I love every single one. I'm not saying this to judge you in any way. I'm saying this that you start to connect the dots and go, oh, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not walking in the peace, not because God hasn't provided me the peace, but I just keep on listening to this secular dribble of negativity, of cynicalness, of, you know what, everything's, you know, everything's going to hell in the handbasket. And that doesn't create joy or peace or hope. It creates hopelessness. And you can't walk in peace and hopelessness. It's just not going to happen. Interesting thing, the Bible says there is a peace that you can walk in. But in order to do that, you have to protect your heart with all diligence. Are you learning something? Yes. Number one, you have to experience the presence of God. You have to experience the presence of God. And just like, and listen, and this is a good example. And just like we talked about Sunday, you can't be full of gratefulness and I forgot what he said, how I worded it, but you can't complain and be joyful. You know what I mean? You know, in your mouth, you can't do that. The same thing. You know what? You can't experience the presence of God. You know what? Watching some crime detective, you know what, murder, suicide, you know what, I mean, I'm just telling you, it ain't, I love you guys, it just ain't gonna happen.
That's right, come on.
But I love that. Okay, listen, you know what, how many know you can, love you guys, how many know you can love some junky stuff? Why? Because here's what happens. Here's why. Because you know what you do? You acquire. So somebody says, check this out. And you eat something you've never eaten, and it's, I love you guys, and it's awful. I mean, just like spit out of your mouth, awful. And then they say like this, like with their Grey Poupon, you know, finger out. Oh, it's an acquired taste. Some of you are partaking in awful media stuff, and the only reason it is bad for your soul, but the only reason you are is because it's an acquired taste. And you have to unacquire a taste for that. Just like the Holy Spirit told me, Drew, you have to turn that off. You cannot walk in my peace and keep on listening to the cynicalness of these two disc jockeys. Amen. Are you learning something?
Yes.
Okay. Number one, you have to recognize, you have to tune into that presence of God. You know what? Number two, you have to practice obedience. Amen? You know, oh yes, I'm going to enjoy the presence of God. And you see, because here's why. Here, this is deep. Are you ready? This is deep. Okay, let's see if you can answer this. Okay, how many been going to church for over 5 weeks? Raise your hand. Hey, come on. If you've been going to go over to church over 5 weeks, raise your hand. Okay, look, almost everybody in the room. Maybe everybody in the room. Okay, over 5 weeks, right? Okay, here's your test. You know what? Christianity. In Christianity, there is a king. Okay? Are you the king?
No.
Oh, okay. Try to make it easy. Okay, listen. How many know we're not the king? How many know there is a king? Say, there is a king, and it's not me. Okay. Let me tell you about Christiana 101. Christiana 101. The king is God, and the king tells us what to do. Hey, you know why? I'm just telling you what. You know why some people... And you know this is true. You know some people, they just don't want to become Christians. Can I tell you one of the reasons why people don't want to be Christians? Because let me tell you about Christianity. In Christianity, there is a king. And the king is not you. And can I tell you about our king? Let me tell you about a couple of things about the king. Our king, he will. Eventually, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess. I mean, let me tell you what. Well, you saw it. At the end, everybody's going to come up to the hill. You know what I mean? I mean, what I'm saying is, people are, there's no God. Trust me. There's no God. There's no God. When the presence of God, when God reveals himself in all his kingdom and all his glory, and all, what we talked about glory, in all his majesty, let me tell you what you'll be. Let me tell you where you're going to be. Let me tell you how we all will be. Here's where we'll all be. We're all going to be like this. God. That's how we're all going to be. That's how we're all going to be. Let me tell you what. There's one king. And in Christianity, you know what? You are by your will subjecting yourself to the king. You're allowing the king tell you what to do. Let me tell you, there are a lot of people can come to church. How many of there are a lot of people come to church? Yes. Let me tell you what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who does what the king tells them to do. That's right. No, Pastor, don't you know like you a Christian, you can do whatever you want to do because what Bible are you reading? I don't know what Bible you're reading. And yes, God is long-suffering. Yes, God is patient with all of us. Amen. Of course he is. But let me tell you what. You want to experience the presence and the peace of God? Listen, how many know God knows more than you? Well, let me tell you about the peace of God. Let's preach this for a minute. The Bible says that God's commandments are not burdensome. Let me connect the dots. This isn't like, listen, let's connect it to the peace. This isn't, God is king. You better do what he says to do. You missed it. God is king. He is smarter than you. So his commandments are not burdensome. When you do what God tells you to do, you're going to have a good life. You pull over. You've never been to this city before. You pull over. You're totally lost. The person who knows better than you tells you, just go to I-8, turn left. You know what? Go to the third gas station, and turn right. And they've lived there all their life. They're so much smarter than you concerning that area. You know what you ought to do? You ought to go, I forget what I just said. You ought to go to I-8, and boom, go to the third gas station, turn. You ought to do exactly that. And if you do that, you're going to be in what? You're going to be in peace. One time I went to Chicago. Can I tell you? Well, I've been to Chicago a lot. That's where Tamara's from. How many know Chicago is different than here? Amen? So one time, Tamara's brother picks me up. True story. She had already gone there. I couldn't get away, but I came a little later. He picks me up in this beat up pickup truck. You know what I mean? We're jamming down this, country road, going like 90 miles an hour. You know what I mean? And he's listening who was he listening to? I know you know. He's listening to. No, way twangery than him. The guy who used to wear black all the time. He's listening to Johnny Cash, cranking Johnny Cash, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, am I in a different world right now or what? So, another story, I'm in Chicago, we go to these slot car races or something, you know what I mean? And these guys, they get like their beat up cars and they rev them all up and they, hit each other like 38 times around anyway. And I'm like, Speedway. So we go to Speedway, and it's like, oh my goodness, what is this? I'm like bored out of my skull. And I said, hey, honey, I'm just really tired. Can I just, you know what? Because the whole family came in like three different cars. I said, can I just take one of the car and go home? She's like, yeah, sure, that's fine. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. You know what I mean? So I grab the keys, get in the car. I go out, turn, you know, and they're like, okay, it's really easy. Just, you know, exactly. Just go up to this light, you know, go up. Well, there was no lights. Go up to this, you know what, Oakville, you know, Avenue. Turn right, go to, you know what, whatever. Turn left, and then you're just there. I get in the car. I go to pull out. It is, let me tell you what it is. It's black. Black. So I'm like, okay, I got this. I start driving in this street, and there's these signs. I'm like, oh, my goodness. What are you going to go, like 8 miles an hour? And I get out and look at it. I just turned around, came back, said, I'll watch the boring cars go around a bunch of more times because I'm not going. Did this happen, Tamara? What am I saying? I'm saying just listen. Just listen to the guy with the directions. It's from, that's where he's from. God knows so much more than we know. And when you will humble out and do what he says, and I don't care when your mind, because this happens, I don't care your mind's like, no, listen, lean not into your understanding. When your mind's like, because half the time we are so stubborn. I know. We don't know. He knows. Are you learning something tonight? So just you experience God by just turning off and just the radio and just in prayer, just pray to God. You'll experience the peace of God by just doing what he says. And let me tell you what will happen. It'll work out. Because if you're obedient, you will. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the fat of the land. I'm telling you, you will. And you have to override your stubborn mind who thinks, no, I know better. You do not, we don't know better than God. Number two, are you learning something? Okay. No. One had A and B. Okay. So learn to live God's presence. How are we going to learn to live in God's presence? Number one, recognize God's presence. Number two, practice his obedience. Are you with me? Now, number two, Roman numeral two. Learn to study God's ways. Learn to study God's ways. Look at back Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. My people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. He's going to teach us his ways. It very much correlates with what I just said, that you are saying, God, you know I have to learn. But how many know you got to learn his ways? You have to, you know what? It's one of the reasons I encourage every single one of you. We're going to have an OSL class, Academy of Righteousness class soon. I encourage you to get an Academy of Righteousness. Why? Because we sit down and we really map out and take some time to learn God's ways. And you have to take some time to do that. Again, Psalm 119, verse 33. Look what it says. Teach me, O Lord, the ways of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Now, just stay there. But you see the two parts? Number one, you have to make a decision to study God's ways. But once you study God's ways, you have to make a decision to apply God's ways. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Amen. Not, give me your understanding, and I'm going to do whatever I want. Wow. See, all eyes up here. Here's what I want to teach you. Study God's ways, so boom, that's head knowledge. But that head knowledge has to be, you see, David, I'm going to get this understanding so I can keep your law. I need to find out what you want me to do first, and then I have to do it. You guys are a great example because you're here on Wednesday night. What are we doing? We're studying the Word of God. Amen. But it's why we put our Bible overhead and we say, oh, just, you know, my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm ready to receive the infallible Word of God. Well, that's good that you would receive it, but we can't just receive it with our head. That's why the Bible talks about in the New Testament, it always talks about walking it out. Walking it out. Walking it out. You know what the Bible's talking about when it says walk it out? It's talking about living it out. So great. I learned Sunday. You know what? I learned a great message on Sunday about understanding how powerful Thanksgiving is. Praise the Lord. I got it. But the application has to be walked out. That in real time on Sunday evening, when I had an opportunity to say something, here's what I said. Father, I thank you for the favor of God. I thank you that it's going to be a good thing. Do you understand? What am I doing? I'm applying what I learned. Some Christians, they just learn. They just learn. How many know just learning, you know, you got a bunch of stuff up here, but it's not gonna work unless you walk it out. Don't just read the Bible. Allow the Bible to read you. Right? You ever been reading the Bible? And like the Bible will say, hey, you need to do that. What are you doing? Now you're allowing the Bible to read you. Have to allow that to happen. Knowledge is only helpful if you apply that knowledge to your life. Knowledge is only helpful if you apply it to your life. Oh, I read this great book, and it was how to get healthy and exercise. Oh, that's good. Did it help? No, I haven't lost a pound. Well, did you do it? No, I didn't do nothing. You know what I mean? I'm still okay. Well, duh. That knowledge is only helpful if you apply it. God wants us not to just inquire information. God wants us not to just acquire information, but to experience transformation. How are you going to experience transformation? Applying what you learn. So what am I saying? I'm saying tomorrow, tonight, you know what? Maybe just, you know, instead of going home and listening to, you know what, KF101 or K-Rock or, you know, KROQ or whatever you listen to, you know what, or, you know what, the big bopper sounds of the, you know, whatever. I don't know what you're listening to, you know what I mean? All I'm saying is, you know what? Maybe, you know what, you ought to. It's interesting to me because, you know what, when I was a kid, I learned all these. I grew up in a very conservative, get out your hymnals, you know what I mean, a church. But I'm telling you what, it's amazing. As I'm just alone with the Lord, the Holy Spirit would just quicken some of these songs that I learned when I was a kid, you know what I mean? And I'll just sing one. You want me to sing? You do, huh? So I'll just start singing, you know what? Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all the alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? What am I doing? I'm turning the radio off, and I'm just quickening into the Holy Spirit. And not because I looked it up that week, but the Holy Spirit, just like a jukebox, will punch in my spirit. 108. What's 108? Leaning, leaning. And the Holy Spirit will minister to me, safe and secure. See, what am I saying? Take what I'm teaching you, and you got to make application. Oh, Pastor, what do you teach? Oh, it's awesome. It's so good. It's so awesome. He fired us up. What is he talking about? God? Jesus? You missed it. You missed it. You missed it. What I'm saying is, experience the presence of God. Apply it. turn off the noise and turn on God's frequency and allow him. Because let me tell you, God is not a respecter of persons. You're like, oh, Pastor, I don't know that song. I wasn't ready. Hey, I don't. He'll quicken the song that we play tonight. You can sing that one. You know what I mean? Some of you be, you know what? It's all about faith. Worketh by love. Heavenly love. Your kids are looking at you like, what is your trip? What are you doing? You just turned into the frequency of God. If you want to hear Sunday, that's what we sung Sunday, okay? But the Holy Spirit will turn that frequency. But you have to be obedient to what God has asked you to do. It can't just be head knowledge. And then finally, and I'll close with this, you have to let offense. I'm telling you what, you are not gonna walk in peace if you are not willing to let offense go. Now, here's what the Bible says. How many know we're all called to walk in love? You know what the Bible says? Love, you know what, is not easily offended. You know what the Bible also says love is? Love keeps no record of wrongs. I'm telling you what, and this is where the rubber meets the road, but maybe you're not full of peace. It has nothing to do with God. It has to do with offenses that you have dialed in, and the reason why. You know what? You ever had kids? You ever have kids who watch, like, well, we talked about the Grinch. They watch, who's that? Elf. You ever, is that the name of that movie, Elf? Okay. My kids have watched Elf so many times, they can quote, you know what, lines in the whole, you know, whole, hello. Right? Okay. Can I tell you what? There are people. I'm smiling. I don't know if it's you. I hope it's not. But if it is, you know what? It's okay. You know what? Maybe you're here for this. Maybe the whole purpose of you being here is for this one point you need to get. But there's people, and they can recite the offense that happened to them, that their husband did to them, that their wife did to them, that their children did to them, that their uncle did to them, that their aunt. And listen, and some of these offenses, they're not minor things. Some of them are minor things. But can I tell you what? I'm just saying, and this is going to sound harsh, but I don't mean to be harsh. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says it like this. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You have no right to not forgive that person. And that kind of sounds even confrontational, because you're like, no, you know what? They did this. See, we're in such a culture of accepting non-Christian behavior that we've let it creep into the church, and now we think that is noble. Can I tell you what? It is not. I don't care what they did. That sounds like I'm not being harsh. Whatever they did, whatever they harmed you, however they did it, first of all, you're not the only one who's been harmed. You know, your heart isn't any different than somebody else's hurt. We've all been hurt. And one of the most compassionate things that you will do is forgive someone, you know what, because that's the Christian thing to do. Here's the irony. Here's the beautiful thing. That, you know what, that's compassionate to them, but can I tell you who it's really compassionate to? It's really compassionate to you. There's something about just going, eh. That here's what the Bible says. Repent that times of refreshing might come. Now, see, we think repent is like repent from lust, or repent from gossip, or repent from stealing, or repent from that. Can I tell you what? One of the most evil sins is? You know what one of the most evil things that you can do is to not forgive. And can I step up one? Can I really mess up your theology? I'm going to mess up your theology, but I'm going to mess up your theology with God's theology. And God's theology should mess up our theology. Never, ever put your theology. Listen, nobody, what's theology? The study of God. Nobody knows God more than God.
That's right.
Here's what God says. This will mess up your theology. Bible says, if you don't forgive, you know what? Neither. Well, let me say it to you in a way that you can remember, because you have it memorized already. Let's say it together. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. How does it start? Our Father, say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our daily bread, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Okay. Did you catch it? Forgive our trespasses. Now, here's a million-dollar word. You ready? What? As. You know what that means? And you know what? Right after God says that, you know what? He goes through this whole thing talking and about teaching about, if you don't forgive, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you. And I don't know what you do with that in our modern day theology with every head bowed and every eyes closed. You know what? Raise your hand, accept Jesus in your heart, and now you're a Christian. I don't know what you do with that. You know, put that in your purse and swing it. Here's what I want to say. And don't write me no letters. Don't think I'm not teaching good theology. Let me just tell you what. Here's what I know. That Jesus, nobody knows how to get in the kingdom of God better than Jesus. No one. And Jesus says, if you do not forgive your neighbor his trespasses, then our Father in heaven will not forgive you your trespasses. But here's the beautiful thing. Talking about obedience, just do it. Because as soon as you do it, okay, oh, I'll say one more thing and then I got to go. Or we got to stop. No, I'll give you, you want a hint? You want a hint? You ever been so mad? You ever hear, I'm so mad I could spit nails? You ever been, I know you don't want to confess that, but you know what I mean? You ever been really ticked at somebody? I mean really, really ticked at somebody. You know, can I tell you how to fix that? Like, almost like this fast, but it takes discipline. But here's what I can, Father, watch this. The Bible says, out of our mouth should not come blessings and cursings. With our mouth, we shouldn't bless God. You know what? Oh, you know what? Praise the Lord. Praise God from all blessings. You know what I mean? And then, you know what? We're like, oh, man, they make me so, you know, man, I hope they. No, from your mouth shouldn't come forth blessings and cursings. What should come from out of your mouth? Blessings and blessings. Okay. And the Bible says, you know what? Yeah, of course you love your bros. You know what I mean? Yeah, oh, but I love the Dodgers. I love Dodger fans. Okay, but tell me this. You know what? Can you love the angels? No, really. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, the Bible says even the heathen love their friends. Can you love your enemies? No. Listen, I'll tell you the coup. All you have to do is say what the Bible says. From your mouth should not come blessings. Just from your mouth come blessings. What's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen. All you have to do is, Father, bless my friend who stabbed me in the back, who did this and do that. And then don't rehearse that. Just start. Father, thank you. So, Father, thank you. I speak blessings. I pray for their, you know, maybe she's married. I pray for their marriage. I pray for their children. Father, I pray for their business. I thank you that you bless. And this is going to come, I pray for their business. But I'm telling you what I've experienced in about 30 seconds. It doesn't take long. In about 30 seconds, God is just going to melt your heart and the irritation is going to turn into compassion. And you're going to be at peace. And you're going to be at peace. Okay, how am I going to apply this?